In Christ alone. That is the theme of our lives. That's the theme of Paul's letter to the Galatians that we've been studying now for the past couple of months. So I want to ask you to turn with me right now to Galatians chapter 3. It has been Paul's desire for the Galatian readers and for us as well to make Christ the theme of our lives. It is in Christ that we find freedom from the past. It is in Christ that we find peace. It is in Christ that we find compassion and hope and joyfulness and forgiveness from sin. It is in Christ alone that we are alive. So far in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul has explained how the power of Christ, the power of the gospel, has changed his life. He has shown the Galatians how the power of the gospel transformed them, and he has called them back to the hope of the gospel, out of a life of legalism, out of a life of trying to earn the love of God, and he has reminded them over and over again that it is in Christ alone that we find hope and joy and peace. He has shown us over and over again that the idea that we can earn the love of God, that the idea that we can be good enough, that the idea that we can work for our own righteousness, it is a dead-end path. And that's actually good news. It is good news that we are not good enough. It is good news that we cannot earn the love of God. It is good news because of the fact that Jesus Christ has come to save us from our sins. Whatever we could not accomplish on our own, Christ did on his own, in his own body, in his death on the cross, in the resurrection from the grave. We have found the salvation that our souls have always longed for. And so we've been looking in Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we've seen that in Christ we have been given a new kind of life. But what exactly does that life look like? What difference does it make that we are now in Christ and no longer in the law and in sin and in that old way of living? What does life in Christ really look like? That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, as we look at this new life that we've been given in Christ. And it's a life that is a life of progression, a life of continual learning. We don't get it all right there at the beginning. It's a life of growth, but it's a life that we walk with Christ, and he is always with us to the very end. So let's go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, and then we'll pray, and we're going to ask God to guide us into his word. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 26, "So in Christ you are all children of God, or sons of God, or sons and daughters of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Let's pray and ask God to guide us into his word. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that you give us in Christ. We thank you so much for Jesus' death and his resurrection. We thank you so much for the gospel, the good news that Jesus loves us, that God loves us, that you are for us and not against us. Thank you so much for bringing forgiveness of sin. Thank you so much for giving us freedom in Christ. And I pray this morning, Father, as we look at these verses and we look at what it means to live our life in Christ, Father, I pray that you would just transform us, that you would show us that we have been given a new relationship with you, we have been given a new relationship with other people, and I just pray that you would invigorate us with your Holy Spirit to go out and live new today. Thank you, Father, that when we are joyful, you are with us. When we are tired, you are with us. When we are scared, you are with us. When we don't know what to do, you are with us. Thank you so much for the love that we have in Christ. Guide us this morning. Speak to us. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, if you were here last week, you might have noticed that I stopped in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. So I've skipped ahead a little bit in the story of Galatians. So let me just kind of give you an overview just of what I skipped, because these are the verses that I really wanted to focus on today. In chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, Paul said that God's promises have always been based on faith. This is something Paul has said all throughout the book of Galatians. Having a relationship with God has really never been about following the works of the law and trying to earn our own relationship with God. It has always been about faith. It has always been about trusting in what God has done for us. In chapter 3, verses 19 through 22, Paul talks about God's law in the Old Testament. He says, listen, the law is not bad. The law was just never meant to bring us to salvation. The law was meant to prepare us for Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit about this last week. Does anybody remember how many laws there are in the Old Testament? 613. 613 laws in the Old Testament. None of us can ever follow that perfectly. No one can ever really earn their own salvation. And so Paul goes to show, he says, listen, the purpose of the law was to show us we need a Savior. The fact that we fail, the fact that we aren't perfect, the fact that we can't do it on our own points us to our need for Jesus Christ. And so Paul showed us in chapter 3, verses 19 through 22, that the purpose of the law is to point us to Jesus. Then in chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, Paul says that since Jesus has come, He's given new life. We no longer have to live by the law. We are no longer under its condemnation. We are no longer bound by trying to earn our own works righteousness. Since Jesus has come, the law has served its own purpose, and we now have been given a new life in Christ. Paul has said over and over again in the book of Galatians that we are guarded and locked up by the law, but now we are free. We have broken free from that guardianship, and we are free in Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard me use this phrase a little bit, in Christ, and we just sang in Christ alone. I want to tell you a little bit about that phrase this morning, because I think that phrase, in Christ, is so key to this section of Galatians, and it's really key to the rest of Paul's letters. That phrase, in Christ, it sounds so simple, but it's used 83 times by Paul in his letters. Another 47 times, Paul says that we are in the Lord. In fact, the idea of being in Christ, that's Paul's favorite way to describe you and I as Christians. Now, a lot of times as Christians, we talk about Jesus living in our hearts, and Paul is going to use that exact same language later in the rest of the book of Galatians. But Paul's favorite way to describe being a Christian is not that Jesus lives in us, but that we live in Him. We find our meaning in Him. We exist in Him. He envelops us. He encircles us. He defines who we are. He defines what we think. We are members of His body. We are in His body, the church. We are participants with Him in His death and in His resurrection. It's kind of this mystical idea that I have this very personal relationship with God through Christ because I am in Christ. And so think about that this morning. Right now, at this very moment, if you are a believer, you are in Jesus right now. He surrounds you. He encircles you. You exist in Him. You live and move and have your being because you are in Jesus Christ. And so Paul's phrase, in Christ, is very, very important here in Galatians. We no longer live in sin. We are no longer covered by it. We no longer live in the law. We are no longer bound to works righteousness. We have freedom in Christ. We exist and are loved by Him. Now, in these couple of verses, the phrase in Christ is used twice. Also, the phrase into Christ is used once. With Christ is used once. Belong to Christ is used another time. The central idea of this passage, the central idea of Galatians, the central idea of human existence is Jesus. It is Christ. Christ is to be the one that defines us and makes us who we are. What we're going to find out in these verses that we just read is this. Life in Christ places us in a very personal relationship with God, but it also puts us in a personal relationship with one another. It changes the very being of our existence. So let's look at a little bit about life in Christ. Let's look at what Paul says about being in Christ in these verses. First of all, number one, in verse 26, Paul says this, in Christ we are children of God. In Christ we are children of God. Look at verse 26. Paul says, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. Now, there's a couple of words that I just want to focus on there. First of all, notice the word all. That's a word that sometimes we skip over, but Paul is not saying, so then, well, if you're good enough, you're in Christ, or if you're a Galatian, you're in Christ, or if you're a Jew, you're in Christ, or if you're black, you're in Christ, or if you're white, you're, he says, all of you are in Christ on the basis of faith. All of us have equal access to God on the basis of faith. I don't care if you came from a good family or a rough family. I don't care if you are educated or uneducated. I don't care however you define yourself. If you have come to God through faith in Christ, we are all on equal standing. We are all children of God through faith in Christ. Now let's talk about that phrase, children of God. Some of your Bibles translate it sons of God or sons and daughters of God. That's a pretty remarkable thing as well. Because in the Old Testament, the phrase children of God was really only used for Jewish believers, okay? But now Paul is saying, listen, he's talking to the Galatians, he's talking to Gentiles, he's talking to non-Jews, people who didn't have a religious background. He's now saying, guys, this phrase children of God, it doesn't just apply to Jews, it applies to all people who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so the realm of God's love has opened up, it has widened for different races and different people. We are all children of God through faith in Christ. Now, again, this idea of being God's child is actually quite remarkable. Even though Jews would have often called themselves children of God, they didn't really think God was their father in a very personal sense. They would kind of assume that we were God's children. He loves us. He takes care of us. But you know what? God is way up here, and I'm way down here. There's no way I can have this very personal relationship with God. But then we see something remarkable taking place in the New Testament. We see Jesus praying to God as his Father. And then he says that we are all his brothers and sisters. And if we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, who had such a personal relationship with God, that means we truly are his children. That means we truly can come to him with our prayers. That means he truly does love us and care for us. And yes, he is still way up here, and he is still high and mighty, and he is still holy and above us. But you know what he's done? He's brought us up to him. He's brought us up to him so that we can pray to him and talk with him and know his love and know that God is actually for us, not against us. We are all children of God in Christ Jesus. So if you have put your faith in Christ Jesus this morning, I want to assure you that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how down you are, no matter how up you are, no matter what you're going through, you are a child of God. You are loved by him. You are encouraged by him. You are given his grace, and he loves you desperately in Christ. This is good news, guys. This is life in Christ. You see, the Christian life is not really about religious practice. It's not really about that. It's not really about coming to church and reading your Bible and praying and giving. Even though that's part of it, the Christian life is a relationship with God Almighty. That is what is most important. We are children of God in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Verse 27, in Christ, we have a new identity. In Christ, we have a new identity. Paul says, for all of you who were baptized in the Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In the early church, much like it is today, the idea of being baptized in water is kind of an idea of an identity change. We have been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in a newness of life. Now, Paul does not believe that it is water baptism that saves you, but he does believe that when we express our faith in God through the act of baptism, something very spiritual and something very powerful happens, and it puts us into a new state of identity. We have cut loose from our old way of life, and we now have been given a new life in Christ. The early church symbolized this so well. They did a great job with this. We don't do this anymore because we don't like to come to church naked. That's not what we do anymore. All right. But back a long time ago, what they would do is they would wear their old clothes, and before baptism, they would derobe. And it was their way of saying, I'm casting off my old life, and then they would put on a new white robe after baptism. And so it was a very vivid way of saying, my life is gone, and I now have a new life and a new idea. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? Amen, man. Woo, new life. It don't look so good. All right, something like that. But in the early church, that was a vivid way of how they reminded people that you have been given a new life in Christ. And it makes sense because clothes that people wear kind of identify what they do, don't they? If you see somebody walk into church and they are wearing scrubs, what do you automatically assume? Oh, they must work in the medical profession. You are identified by your clothing. If you see somebody walk in and they have a tool belt around their waist and they have a hammer that's hanging off their side right here, you think, oh, that person is probably a carpenter. If you see somebody walk in and they have a black suit with a red power tie, you might think, oh, that person is a CEO or he has some sort of important position in a company. And so clothing kind of is an identity marker for us. Well, Paul says that now that we are in Christ, we have been baptized into Christ, and we have put on Christ. We have taken off the old way of identifying ourselves. You know what? We are no longer alcoholics. We are no longer divorced. We are no longer lustful. We are no longer, however we identify ourselves, whatever our former life used to be, we are no longer that. We are in Christ. When people look at us, they should see us clothed with Christ. That means he changes our words. He changes our actions. He gives us a new identity marker. We are identified by his love. This was also very vividly practiced in the early church by the fact that we were called Christians. Most religions in the first century were identified by their ethnicity. You knew it was a Jewish faith because it was all Jews. You knew it was some sort of Greek mystery religion because they were all Greek. But then the Christian church came along and you had Jews and Greeks and slave and free and all these different people, and you could no longer identify them by their ethnicity. So they said, well, what unites all these different people? What brings these people? Oh, it's that Jesus they serve. We'll call them Christians, little Christ, people that seek after Jesus. They were clothed with Christ. When people look at us, that should be our identity marker, that we are clothed with Christ, that we are loved by him. So that's good news as well, guys. You are no longer what you used to be. You are in Christ. You have a new identity. Now, what implications does this have for the way we practice church? Verse 28, in Christ, we are one. We are one body. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There was a very popular prayer in first century Jewish synagogues that went something like this. And by the way, you couldn't have a Jewish synagogue unless you had 10 males, 10 male Jews, because that's what really matters. It's not the women Jews, it's the male Jews. And so there was a common prayer in the Jewish synagogue that went something like this. A man would stand up in synagogue and he would pray this, literally. God, thank you so much that I am not a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. That was a very common prayer because there was an idea that males had privileges. Males were a little closer to God than everyone else. But look at what Paul says here. He blows that idea out of the water and he says, no, 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 that's not how it works. In Christ, the way that we distinguish ourselves has changed. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you are slave or free. We have all been given equal standing in Christ. If you are here this morning and you are a woman, you have just as much access to the Holy Spirit as a man. If you are young here this morning, you have just as much access to the Holy Spirit as an older person. If you are black or white or whatever, however we use to identify ourselves and distinguish ourselves, those distinguishing marks fade away when we are in Christ. You know what that also means? This is where it gets us kind of in trouble at times. That means if we all have equal access to Christ, that means we also have equal access to serve Christ in his church. We all have equal access to serve Christ in his church. I was thinking about this morning. I was talking with a couple of people about this. And my daughter Tia, who is 7, one of my twins, she comes to me frequently. And I don't know if this is God's will for her life. I don't know if this is Spirit speaking, or I don't know if she just loves her daddy and she needs to clear her mind a little bit. But she comes to me and says, Daddy, I'm going to be a preacher. She says that quite frequently. And I remember one time I looked at her and said, now, baby, that's sweet, but you won't be Southern Baptist anymore. All right? Because official Southern Baptist doctrine says a woman cannot preach in the church. A woman cannot teach. But what does this verse say about that? And how do I live out this practice of us being one in Christ? And how do I live that out with my daughter? You know what? I don't know exactly what's right or wrong in that regard, but I know this. I see my daughter sitting her brothers and sisters down in a room, and I see her with a Bible preaching to them. And I'm not going to stop it. And I'm not going to hold that back. I dare not be holier than the Holy Spirit. And I dare not stop the work of the Holy Spirit in that girl's life. We are all one in Christ. There is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Now, how come all this has come about? Verse 29. In Christ, we know God. Paul says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise that God made to Abraham so many years ago in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 22 was this: in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. In you, someone is coming who will give people equal access to God. In you, through one of your ancestors, someone is coming that will allow people to know God intimately and personally. And in Christ, that promise is fulfilled. In Christ, what God has been doing from the very beginning of time has come to fulfillment, and you and I are beneficiaries of that fact. In Christ, we know God. Not just know about Him, not just know about His gospel, but we are actually changed from the inside out. You know, sometimes we talk about knowing God, and we talk about the gospel and knowing the gospel, and we talk about it in kind of an intellectual way. Well, I know my Bible, and I know what the gospel says, and I know the stories of Jesus, but the gospel is a living and active, working reality in our world today. It is moving us. It is shaping us. It is working behind the scenes. It is drawing us closer to Christ. And in Christ, we can know that gospel personally. We can know Jesus personally. We can know God intimately. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's an actual relationship with God Almighty. So I hope you see this morning that in Christ makes all the difference. It changes us from the inside out. It takes us from an old identity to a new. It makes us have a close personal relationship with God and a close personal relationship with others. You know what? Sometimes it's hard exactly to know how to live all of these principles out, but I can guarantee you this. If we stay true to Jesus and keep seeking after Him, He is going to show us how to live life in Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Christians here this morning, would you just pray to Jesus right now and say, thank you for allowing me to be in you. In Christ, you have forgiveness of sin. In Christ, you have hope for the present life. In Christ, you have hope for the future. In Christ, you have the body of Christ, other brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with you through difficult times, through joyous times, through life. So praise Jesus right now. Spend some time saying, God, thank you for allowing me to be in Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you know about Him, maybe you know about church and you have a head knowledge, but do you have that heart knowledge? Do you have a relationship with God? Have you ever gone to Jesus in prayer and say, Jesus, I truly do believe that you died on the cross for me, and I truly do believe that you rose from the dead? Maybe you've never done that. Do that now. Go to Jesus in prayer right now and say, Jesus, I believe in what you've done for me. I want to be in Christ. I want you to give me a new identity. I want you to change me from the inside out. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, then do it this morning. Don't put it off. Do it right now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you need to come to the front and let me know about that decision, you may do that now. If you need to catch me after the church service, then do that. Tell somebody today that you've made a decision to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know what other decisions need to be made this morning. Maybe you have a desire to join our church, and that would be great. Maybe you have a desire just to stay where you are and worship God and allow His Spirit to speak to you, then allow His Spirit to work in your life today. Just thank God that we have the privilege of being in Christ and knowing Him and making Him known. And I'm so thankful for that, because my life is not always the way I want it to be. Yet I'm always loved and held securely in His hands. And the same is true for you. And so spend some time just resting in that knowledge this morning. You are in Christ. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you need to come and make a decision, then do that now. Jesus, we are so thankful for what you've done for us. We're thankful for just the love that you give us, the forgiveness, the grace, the hope, the new life that you give us. And show us, Father, how to live that new life out. Help us to know that we are free in you. Help us to know that we have a personal relationship with you. And help us to know that we have a deep and abiding relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And show us how to put these principles into practice throughout our daily lives. There is no one here who is more holy than anyone else. No one here who is more important than anyone else. We all have equal access to you. We all have the equal ability to serve you. Now, it may come in a variety of forms and a variety of different ways, but we have all been gifted to serve and to glorify you. And so help us to live that out just in Christ. This week, as we live our lives, help us in the hectic moments, in the calm moments, and every moment in between to stop and just remember that we are in Jesus, that we are yours, that we have a new identity, a new life. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We pray this in Christ's name and all God's people say. All right, let's go ahead and have our gentlemen come forward.